Welcome to Starfleet Universe Encore. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SMB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just call 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or if you want the best online experience, but you want to go to, you want to go to twitch.tv, that's twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. And you'll find us there and be able to join the chat room and watch me streaming live. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on the Twitters. You can follow me, the podcast account, which is sfuoncall. Or my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. Or also Franz Games, FranzGmes. Again, there's no T in that. And of course, the lovely Talkcast gets to the podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B. They've been working on actually a new product because Gary and they've been working on making the Omegas campaign capable. And part of that was, okay, one of the things Gary, Nick, and Ken were working on the Omega bases. Gene decided that the 85 Maceron SSD that Gary wants to add to make them camping compatible and general war compatibility will be a single product sometime during the next year. So they are working on a new product. So those people, as it be, yep, I know not everyone is thrilled about Omegas, but it's a new product. So they're working on that. Also, Ken Kaczynski, that's the Ken working on the bases, is working on getting all the errata updates. And I'm just all gripes about the Civil Rulebook. I'm not sure exactly what the Civil Rulebook is, if that's the one about the current version of the Omegas. We got grapes here, and I'm sure anyone who's been watching the podcast enough have heard them from Barry. That'd be really good to hear from him when it comes to that. Okay, Albert has found the original R5 1994 rule book and proceeded to update the ship sections from the Master Starship book data. Also, Albert, Gene, Mike Sparks, yes, he still works for them, and Steve Cole reviewed the latest samples from the new 3D vendor. This is exciting. They're very nice. Steve Cole has directed Albert to get a draft operating agreement, which he hopes to complete and execute soon. The vendor will then proceed to put together a website to start selling stuff. Now, currently Steve Cole is thinking about doing the 7000 series first, and to get them started. And then Steve Cole mentioned that it'll take a year or more to load all of the various ships into the system. They're not quite sure about what the approach they're going to be taking with those different ships. Obviously, I think the question is going to be for me, is that I know that those ships, the 3D models, are different. For, you know, they use different programs to create the models. The question is, are they all compatible? And also, of course, how will they look from the different formats? He might have already done that, and that's what here, because he doesn't specify which sample, what he asked for when it comes to samples. So, but we'll find out soon enough. When it comes to filing an online store this week, what we've got is it the FNE CO setup chart, which is always good to have a additional one of those lying around. It's only $2 and 6 setup and fleet charge for a special operations chart is now part of the combined operation. That's what CO is, you know, it's combined operations. And it's only $2. So it's always good to have, again, it's one of those great parts to have if you play a lot of FNE. And of course, invariably, you either get worn, torn, get damaged by milk, coffee, any other soda, possibly Diet Coke, on those. So moving on forward, when it comes to Esteban campaign, tournaments, we're still waiting on, we still have science are still open, still waiting for enough people to sign up to get that started. Waiting for, when it comes to 500 BPV tournament, Justin, you know, dropped out. So it's going to be Frank LeMay, which actually I need to update that in my news. I keep on adjusting it myself. But I'm waiting for him to come back, and he'll be available starting next week. And I need to find out a good time. I'm thinking probably Wednesday night would be a good time to start, because I know I'm busy Monday night. Tuesday, we might be able to start. I'm not sure. But I think Wednesday would probably be the best day to do that on. Possibly even Friday of next week, which would be fantastic if we get 2 days in. When it comes to the online client stuff, not much happened this week. As I said, last week I actually got released update 4.8.1 out the door. Haven't heard anything yet. I'm keeping an eye out for it. I need to actually announce and thank, I think, in different parts. And I have not heard anyone who has complained that their client no longer works. So far, no one has borked their client install, which is a good thing. When it comes to library part, no progress there on either the regular SAP library or the FedCom library. So with that is the news for this week. It's me, yes, the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Yeah, that soft voice in the background is Doug. And Matt. Say hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. That's wrong one. Okay, cool. Tonight we're going to do something. Well, I think I got the right one. This is the correct one. Okay. Whoops. Forgot to turn off the sound. Okay. As anyone knows, I got my monitor over there, which is my iPad. So it works. But anyhow, what we're going to start off tonight actually with is a quick announcement. As anyone who's been listening to me long enough, actually in the past few months, it's actually become a little more present, just because TalkShoe is, in my mind, is getting less reliable, which is an issue. I need... If I'm going to be using a platform to do things, I need that platform to be reliable. And if the platform can't be reliable, I've got to move, you know? And I stuck in there for a long time, stuck in there when it comes to when they were doing it before the transition, before they got bought up by a new company, which did a wonderful job. It revamping the site annoyed me a little bit because it required me to use Chrome. Okay, fine. You know, the whole world is not testing for anything outside of Chrome, and I have to live with that because developers write for Chrome and you can go everywhere. Like, no, there are certain things that don't work outside of Chrome. So, yeah, done. Don't get me started on that one, because that's the whole idea of having standards and so forth. The idea of standards that are communal, you know, IETF, sets that everyone agrees on. This is how the interactions occur, and so forth. But the interactions in Chrome don't match the interactions with other browsers. Now the question is whether the other browsers are correct or not. Or Chrome is incorrect, and there's also other features that are available on Chrome that are unavailable on other browsers, which of course sometimes I think that happens also with other browsers too. Actually, I know that happens with other browsers. But anyhow, sorry, I went down that rabbit hole. Couldn't help it. But you know, they and support wise, they've still been good. You know, they I contact them and I usually get a reply. As long as it's not on the weekend, I get a reply relatively quickly. Obviously, it looks like they don't have any support for the product on the weekends, which I can understand to a certain degree, and to a certain degree I can't understand, because obviously their platform is a 24/7 platform. So that means you need to have people available all the time. If there's, you know, and obviously that doesn't seem like it's the case. And because the biggest issue currently has been that the podcast feed doesn't get updated. And I didn't know about this, that it had gone updated for like months until someone said, hey, you don't get any, have any updates. And it seems like every single time I want the podcast feed to continue on, to be updated, I have to go to them and go, ding, hey, guys, the feed for downloading the podcast, and the podcast doesn't work. It's not being updated. I'm not seeing the last 3, 4, 5, whatever episodes. I probably should do it like every single week, but I don't really feel like I should have to do that. So anyhow, the plan is, and that is at the end of this month, and this, for those of you who listen to this later on, at the end of July 2025, I will be moving I'm sorry about this. I'll be moving the feed that's for iTunes to be SFU on call. The feed that I manage and I maintain on SFU on call. So that we shouldn't have, you'll have it so that you'll have all the podcast, you'll have the podcast, it'll be updated in a timely basis and so forth. Also, just quick note, I apologize for those of you on YouTube. Because of I slacked there for a few weeks, where there was like 3 weeks where I did not update, I did not post the latest YouTube video, and I apologize for that. It's all up to date. It's all up to date. I posted last week's feed, last week's video and so forth. And I plan on posting this one this upcoming weekend. I used to post it like that night. Can't do that anymore. Because my mornings have gotten too early to work on the video at night. Yes, it's not that, it doesn't take that long, but every ounce of sleep I can get is the best for me, because I get up an hour earlier than I used to. So anyhow, so I'm going to change the feed. That's number one. Number two, I'm no longer going to be streaming on TalkShoe. I will be posting the episodes on TalkShoe. So those of you that actually get it from TalkShoe will be able to still see the episodes and actually listen to the episodes on TalkShoe if you still want to use TalkShoe to listen to those. Not sure you want to, because obviously you can have them also on sfuoncall.com. You also can listen or watch either one on YouTube. Obviously, with YouTube, you don't have to actually watch my face. You might just listen to it. That actually was an interesting thing. I just checked on today. I was looking at my videos. Actually, the views count, they're not bad. Pretty good. The only issue, it seems like that after the news portion, people time to they stopped watching. You know, they said, I think the average watch time is like, depending upon the video, somewhere between 8 and 11 minutes. The podcast, the whole episode is usually around 45 to an hour. So it's like, wow. That was a shock. But it's like, okay, well, obviously, sounds like some people, they only listen to the intro, then they find me boring and exit, though. That seems weird overall. But anyhow.
Well, they might just be coming in for the talk, the news part.
Yeah, yeah. I think part of it is that they listen to the news port, which is relatively short. It's between 5 and 8 minutes that I add on to the beginning of the video, because when I stream live, for those of you on Twitch, you never see the news portion because I can't upload a video to Twitch. At least not with the account I have. There might be more options if I actually have a paid account, but I don't. There's no reason for me to have a paid account on Twitch because there's no reason for me to. I'm not managing it like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
I find that interesting. I found that when I try to catch up on your previous episodes, I skip the news section and I listen to the rest of it.
Yeah, wow,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting because, yeah, well, I can understand why people skip the news portion, because for most part, except for maybe the first few minutes, that might be interesting. I can see people skipping it. Because the first, obviously, other than the normal introduction that I do every single time, and yes, I read that every single time, as if it wasn't obvious. But after that, then I have the ADB news. Some cases there, lately, actually, Steve Call has gotten back into a habit of actually posting something about that, which is, in my mind, always good. Of course, then there's quick, quote unquote, almost, you can call it advertisement, whatever. I'm just trying to inform people of other products that ADB is offering. So I have found an online store for this week, and I've been going through the different products. I'm right now on to the F&E products. So people, you know, can know what's there, you know, and I think it's a good thing. You know, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, past 2 weeks, not anymore, but the 2 week, you know, 2 weeks ago and the week before, both those reminder of course, the sale that the ADB was having. Well, you know, 17.76%. Okay, there, that's how you say it. Off all products. I think that was cute. I think that's kind of cool. Neat idea. But you know, so that, you know, it's a reminder that there was that sale going on. For those of people who listen quickly enough, you could take advantage of it. So especially if you're buying on the online store, which is great. Please support them. Obviously, one thing that actually I'll talk about. I was about to do something. Nope, I'm not gonna talk about that one. Well, what I talked about in the news portion. I'll talk about that actually probably later. I will still be doing the streaming on Twitch. I will still be streaming on Discord. Discord will be anyone who wants to talk to me, Discord is your way of going. I will make sure that smvoncall.com. Oh, sorry. I mean, keep on getting a tickle in my throat. That is, you know, I'll make sure that there's an up-to-date invite on SFU on call. There is, as Matt knows and Doug knows, and I mentioned a couple times before, which is there is on Discord Dun, dun, dun. And I will actually, I didn't think I was going to do this today, which is I'm actually going to show my screen. And that is, there is a stream, there is a room called SFU On Call Stream. And I use that channel to stream on. I log into the channel around 9:25. And
Eastern?
Gibby?
9:25 Eastern or
Eastern,
what time?
Yeah, Eastern.
Okay.
I do my, the podcast, the live portion has been set up this for not starting at around 9:30 at night on Eastern time, because that was, I figured that was the best thing for both East Coast and West Coaster. So anyone's East Coast, it's late enough. Yeah, they should be able to sign up, but then they shouldn't be too late. East Coaster should be late enough that they can get done with dinner or whatever and maybe and join the call then. And of course, it makes it difficult if you want to go east to like Europe, which is like a five-hour difference between the U.S.
I think
and like England.
Your European subscribers can like catch it the next day.
Yeah, that's though. I did have I think the Majid. I forget. I don't think Majid. There was one person who actually but joined us for a few times that actually did it from like 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, because they wanted to join. The original experiment for this kind of failed. The idea of having a community that people can join anytime they want and be part of it, obviously not that many people are interested in it. And I can understand that. And that's fine. So this is basically becoming my podcasting platform purely. So if you want to, you can join me on the Starfleet Universe online server. And as I said, I open it up to, on this channel, and I allow people to talk if you want to talk. And obviously if I need to, I can go and I can go and mute people. That's one thing with even the talk show, they've not had any issues as of late. I think maybe that might be an issue itself. Because for all I know, the reason why you don't see the spammers and scammers like you might find on Twitch, haven't seen them for a long time. And more importantly, the idiots on TalkShoe for a while, and then maybe the platform is not that popular, and therefore that's why they don't actually bother it as much. So I'm not gonna be streaming SFU On Call. I'm gonna have to change how I announce how to join us, because I'll no longer be talking about TalkShoe. When it comes to, you know, if you want to call in, you will no longer be able to use your phone to call in. So, yeah. So Doug, if you want to call in, we need to talk. Because I might.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll have the machine. My machine back soon.
Yeah, and in theory, if you wanted to, and I guess you don't, which is in theory, you could actually add Discord to your phone. If you wanted to, but I'm not sure how well that would do when it comes to internet and so forth. And there's times where
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Actually, that's how I listen to the podcast. I have you on my phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do the browser Discord for chatting, and I do the phone Discord for phone calls.
Oh, okay.
Or audio.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Cool. So we'll no longer have a call-in line. Obviously, there's one minor issue with that at all, is that if we ever want to have Steve Cole on here, I have to figure out something. In case, if that happens, if I really want him to call in, what I might do is create a Zoom session with Steve Cole, and then tie it in there. So, but in the meantime, you know, we're gonna do that, and I'm announcing it now to give people plenty of time to adjust things if they need adjusting, and also a warning ahead of time for those of you who download the podcast. And I'm that's one thing I'm going to work on this week, which is sending the email to support and make sure that they have the podcast feed up to date, you know, for that. And if the issue with the podcast feed continues, meaning having the podcast, you know, because you can actually just upload a podcast to it and it adds it to your podcast, and that's great. Problem is, if I do it that way, does it automatically add it to the feed? If it does, great. Then, you know, then I don't have to bother them anymore. Because I'm not sure if anyone's actually grabbed the feed directly from TalkShoe, because that's one way you can do it. And when I asked many, many moons ago about people, okay, what or how are you digesting the podcast? I only got one response. And that was from Russ. And basically he said that he'll, let me just look at that real quick. Ta-da. I saw the email, there's Russ. He said, basically, I often catch it live, depending on circumstances, which always tough, I know. Lately, 2/3 I catch live and typically listen to audio only via TalkShoe. So world that my the new NSP, but on edge of call, of edge of cell data. If TalkShoe went away, no biggie. Can sometimes get Twitch to hold up when TalkShoe isn't working like tonight. Almost always download YouTube video later on for news and any visual components shown. Yeah, because that's one thing, as everyone has known, there are some podcasts that's like, guys, you really need to watch this on the YouTube, because I try my best to describe it, but seeing it on screen is a much better medium for those of you who can actually watch it. But the script download, it eliminates buffering, because you can download the video. Stuck in the best thing at home. Note that using a download app doesn't seem to add to your YouTube view counts, but I am watching. Okay, which is fine when it comes to download counts. I would like them higher, honestly, just so that people know about my YouTube channel more. But at the same time, I'm going to be honest here. YouTube is just currently another way to get my podcast out the door, another place to download it from, to listen to it. I'm not a YouTuber that I'm trying to monetize my YouTube feed and have it so that, you know, I can actually get money off of YouTube. No, I'm not trying to do that game. Not at all.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you don't have to, but you could still do a live feed through that if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, I'd have to figure that out all again. Don't get me started. The reason why I currently don't do it through YouTube and I only do it through Twitch is because many years ago, and I talked about this a little bit before, sometime in the last month or so, I talked about it, which was that YouTube, and when Google was going crazy and trying to consolidate things, the one way I was using YouTube to stream, they broke it. And I tried and tried and I couldn't get it to work with OBS. And I went, fine, I give up. And so instead of doing it directly on YouTube, here's the problem with that, is that I still have to remove that video and upload the new video, because I record the news portion at a different time than I do the live portion. So, and as I pointed out earlier, what you posted on YouTube is not the same thing. It gets streamed live to Twitch.tv. Twitch.tv is the raw video. No edits, nothing. So, look.
And that's what your YouTube channel is. Sorry for interrupting.
Right. For example, there's been twice in the past 2 months where I screwed up. I screwed up and I selected the wrong sound source for OBS. And since I selected the wrong sound source for OBS, what happened was that, Doug, you could not hear. You'd only hear my voice. You wouldn't hear anything that Doug or anybody else at that point was saying, because those are two different channels. So on Twitch, if you listen to that, to those videos, you hear me, and then you have empty space, possibly for 15 minutes, maybe 10. But anyway, you have that where I'm just going, maybe quick response, yeah, that's right, or do a response, but you don't know what I'm hearing. So for those, I could actually, since I also record a separate audio feed, which is for a podcast, I'm able to fix up the video with adding the audio, it's a pain, to the video, because I say it's a pain because of anyone who's ever done this before knows the problem, which is the audio. When you get for a video, the audio syncs up with the video fine, no problem. But if you record the audio separately, it records at a different rate, and therefore what happens is that what's on the video and what's on the audio, it gets out of sync a little bit at a time. So what you've got to do, if you're adding an audio capture to a video, you have to every once in a while adjust it. Maybe a second, maybe in half a second, so that your lips match the video. I mean, the audio matches the video. And to be honest, I apologize earlier. That was the reason why some of them got delayed, is because I know that I had one which was going to be a big, big, big one. It wasn't just a few minutes. It was like most of the podcast was Doug, you could not hear Doug. And I went, crap.
Oh, just the voice in your mind.
Yes, it's just the voice in my head, which doesn't really work when it comes to watching a video when you hear only one side of the conversation.
Well, there are some who might like the challenge of trying to figure out what was said.
Yeah, understood.
You have a very intelligent audience.
Very true. It reminds me back to one. I went to Costa Rica, and we went to this one coffee place. It's a tourist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they had this presentation, which basically was this actor and actress, talking back and forth. And what the really cool thing about it was one side of the conversation would be in Spanish, the other side of the conversation would be English. And you could tell by the responses on Spanish or English, depending upon which side you can understand, what they were talking about. So you could actually, even though you only understood one side of the conversation, you understood what the conversation was about. Which of course, obviously, it was around coffee beans and in some cases, brewing, not brewing. Well, in some cases, brewing the beans or roasting the beans. Things like that, and they were talking about that and growing up of coffee had been in Costa Rica for years, and some of the history about growing coffee in Costa Rica, and that kind of thing, which actually is kind of interesting. I enjoyed it, and it was a memorable experience, which is why I bring it up. Again, it can work as long as we have a very interactive conversation where they can guess what the other person might have been saying. So, anyhow, so that is. I say that was the news for this week, but that's not really the news for this week. That was one of the things that I wanted to discuss and definitely point out to people that things are changing. So hopefully everything goes without a hitch. Maybe. As I said, which is maybe just not streaming and just uploading fix the problem with the podcast stream. Don't know. But as I said, I will definitively make sure that the podcast feed on sfuoncall.com is up to date. The podcast get posted, if not the same evening that it's completed, at the very latest the next day, that next morning or maybe afternoon, Eastern time. So it shouldn't be too long. I endeavor to post it on a consistent basis when it comes to those things. Was it last week? I think last week was a challenge where I ran out of time, so I couldn't record. I recorded the news portion the next day. So for those of you on the video, you would notice that, it was quite brighter outside on the beginning of the podcast. The beginning of the video to the end of the video. So, that's what happens. Now, next topic I wanted to get into, which actually Gary emailed me about, and those of you who actually already listened to the news portion know the subject which I was going to bring up, which is, ADB is working on a new product. And if I were you, I would definitely visit the discussion board at least, every other day or something like that. And just, see what's the last day. If you want to do it weekly and click on the last week link, so you can see what's going on there. Because of, obviously, if you don't know already, the discussion board requires you use HTTP, not HTTPS, which means in some cases, like the Chrome browser and some other browsers, you have to change it so that it will use HTTP. When it comes to Safari, the one thing I found that was annoying with Safari is that when I go to that, even if I have the saved link in my bookmarks as HTTP:// HTTPS, it will switch it to be HTTPS and then it will be empty. Then I have to go up to the address bar and go, okay, get rid of the S, click, boom, now it works. So that's one of those annoying things that Safari has. Now, it's better than Chrome and Edge, who don't really like you working on non-HTTPS browsers. But actually, what was it? There is, I think, what is it called? Never SSL or something like that. I forget what the website is, but the idea of the website is simple. Go to, when you have captive portals, all of us have run into the same issue. We have Wi-Fi where it brings up a web page and goes, hey, that Wi-Fi is being free from your hotel that you're staying at, but we need to confirm that what your room number is. Enter that room number and hit enter, and then okay, now you can have access to the internet. Okay, fine. The problem is sometimes if you try to go to HTTPS, because of how it works, it doesn't actually redirect. It actually brings up that page, but in non-HTTP, it won't bring it up. So in some cases, you actually have to go to a website, which will never be SSL. So and that will allow you to actually get past the captive portals. But anyhow, I digress. I would recommend you keep an eye on that website because of what they're working on. One of the products that they're currently working on is that they're trying to get the Omega ships, the Omega empires. I almost used the R word, you know, that dirty word, the R word. The empire, make them what Gary said, basically it is campaign compatible. That is, it has the ships that are needed for a campaign, because to be honest, and I'm sure everyone would agree, anyone who knows the Omega product line, ADV never really fleshed out the empires. There are, yes, it has a lot of ships. You can do fights and so forth like that. But there's certain things that you can't do. When it comes to the Omega Octant empires, some of the most basic one, which is one thing that, as I mount on the news portion, which is Gary, Nick, and Ken working on Omega bases. There are no Omega bases in the Omega Octant books. There are none. What? I'm pretty sure that in the Omega Octant, they did the same thing that they did in the Alpha Octant, which is they had bases to shore up their defenses, you know, and their what considered their borders, you know. So they, you know, they didn't just have part of their mobile fleet just laying around, you know. You make fixed position bases, which can, you know, you don't have. Yes, there's obviously the minor issue, which is okay, they can't be moved, which is can be considered bad, because you have a defensive force which can't be moved. But at the same time, you have, in the case you have planets, let's say possibly a mining planet, possibly a specific part of your territory which you want to defend, and you need bases to defend those, you know, that territory. Well, Omegas don't have them. So that's one thing that currently they're working on. And as Steve Cole pointed out, that this, that's, as Gene decided that we have, there's 85 Mazeron SSDs. That's a lot of ship. A lot of ships that are, Gary wants to be added to make them campaign compatible. So, you know, at the start. Now, I understand that, and as I pointed out in the news portion, that not everyone is into the Omegas. You know, but I think people can be excited. People in the SAP community can be excited that ADB is producing a new product, not relying on the past products and just updating them, but actually producing a new product. Yes, Doug.
Well, Paul, I'm actually really excited to hear that they're doing a campaign capable Omega module. I'm mostly a campaign person myself. Mm-hmm. I only do tournaments mostly just to kind of fill the hours. But I think that if the Omegas were made campaign capable, you would actually get quite a larger group of people involved, because there's a lot of campaigns that are the 4X kind, the expand, mm-hmm. exterminate, diplomatic, and I forget what all the X's are. But
yeah, understood.
And having a couple of things for each of the empires, such as static defenses, which could be bases, it could be ground bases, could be minefields even, or death sats or anything like that.
Right.
And then secondly, having a logistics network, which generally is represented by freighters. I think between those two things for the Omegas will make it so that you'll probably add at least a third, perhaps, or a third again, rather, or perhaps even double your interest in the modules.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely possible. I just know some people, they look at the Omegas and go, you know, and I can understand that to a certain degree. And overall, I was not thrilled with the way that the rule book was done. You know, just because, and I brought this up before. It feels like it was, they said, oh, these are phasers, just like, you know, it was the brand new section of the rules. But it's how they just say, oh yeah, just use the ones from this section of the rules. They're used different charts. And if there's some modifications, you'll see it in these rules here, which to me, it's just a janky approach. Doesn't feel like it's an integrated part of the Starfleet battle rules. You know, that was one of those things that always bothered me about it. They have a product which are going on for next year, and the reason why I'm telling people to go into the discussion board and visit it, you know, because for those of you who don't realize this, if you want to see how products are being updated, how products are being done, go to the discussion board. Because if ADB is working on something, they're not going to be talking about it on Facebook. They're going to be talking about it. They're not going to talk about it on the PHP BBS for FedCom. They're not going to be talking about it. They're going to be talking about it at the old discuss board. That's what Steve Cole, actually, I like it because it's relatively simple. Well, you know, it's not too complicated. I've liked for many years. It's old software. It's really old, but it still works. Works perfectly. The only problem is you can't do it under HTTPS. That's the only issue. Obviously, be careful about your username and passwords. If you ever need to do a post, make sure that your password is unique, because of it's not protected by HTTPS. But I think for most part, the security issue there is overblown. If you're going from home, the reason why you want to be HTTPS is that if there's someone in the middle. If your router's hacked or your network is hacked in some way, okay, then you've got an issue. But if you don't, I don't think there's someone sitting on some router across the internet that's just waiting for these packets to go past them. You know, I think it's that's kind of silly.
No, that's what bots are for.
What's that?
Sorry, that's just what AI is for now, I guess.
Yeah, well, AI at the same time is overblown in certain degrees. Yeah.
People with way too much time on their hands.
Very true.
Well, you know, that's one advantage of the old Discus forum is that it's old, so new people aren't really going to know how to hack it. And it's it wasn't terribly popular at the time, so a lot of people didn't put the effort into it when it was still a thing. Unlike the PHP BB software, which has got several vulnerabilities, put it that way.
Yeah, let's not talk about PHP, shall we?
We digress from the entire topic of the Omega sector.
But anyhow.
Well, here's.
Yes.
Here's my two cents on the Omega sector thing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't basically cookie cutter it into a copy of the other side of the alpha, then they should be okay. They can keep it kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just kind of makes me wonder when I looked at it. I don't have that stuff with me where I'm at right now, but when I did get to look at it, I was like, okay, well, it's got a different flavor to it, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but on the other hand, I mean, it's a good thing to have a different flavor, but I think there's a degree of overload that, like, a lot of people who've gone through learning so much in that game, when you have that extra thing on the layer cake of it, eventually there's a part where it will collapse of itself. And that, you know, what brings people into the Starfleet universe is basically the Trek aspect of right. it. And the Omega stuff really digresses away from that completely. And that really goes back to the whole bit about what you were saying earlier about where it's like you didn't like the part where they just kind of made up all the new weapons and said it's the equivalent of the thing from the Alpha Quadrant, but it's slightly different with a slightly different chart. And that's kind of a whole part of that, I think. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
And, yeah, the that's like, one of the barriers to entry I found with the Omega.
On 5 universe on top of it, or something like that. So.
I agree with you. One of the barriers to entry to Omega was just all the little fiddly new phaser types and new weapon types that are just like the others, except this little bit that now you have to research. But the other side of it is that they've done the general war and the couple of wars around it so much. They've been riding that hobby horse for a great many decades, and people are getting kind of tired of it. There's a certain amount of fatigue there.
Yeah.
So and going with the Omega and the other galaxies, I think is a good idea, and I wish they would flesh them out and do more with them.
Mm-hmm. I agree there.
And something that they could do that might be very interesting along those lines could be something like exploring stuff like the Tholian Old Galaxy.
Right.
Because basically everything works off of existing tech, and they could be coming into they're developing the similar things that you have in the original one, and it just all just kind of fits back into that. But, yeah, there's a certain bit of that, and it's I can get that. Yeah, totally.
Understood, yeah.
Yeah, and the other advantage, though, is that if for some unknown reason they lose their license, heaven forbid, at least they've got some other intellectual property they can lean on and keep going and still serve the fan base.
Understood. I think the biggest issue with the General War overall is that they have run out of ships. I mean, you can have these kind of unique ships that were created just for testing purposes. But overall, you know, you filled all the notches, any possible little places to place a new ship, You filled them. You know?
I agree. So, I agree.
Yeah, you know, that's why, and, that's why it's kind of dead.
And one of my personal dislikes of this is that the general war happened about 160, 180 years after the advent of faster than light travel. So it's just in effect, the people that were born when faster than light travel was invented are seeing this kind of new technology come out. They've seen approximately three different eras of ship tech in their lifetime. And if it were me, I would have spread everything out probably about three or four times the time that it took.
Understood.
Just because of that.
Yeah, but I think part of that is Star Trek itself. You know, Starfleet battles, and the Starfleet universe in general is trying to remain true to pretty much the timeline of what's given for Star Trek.
Well, that's true. And I realize that their license didn't cover the Next Generation.
Right.
But the Next Generation was effectively the X-Tech. Right. And the Paramount had decided that happened about 85 years after Kirk. So even there, you're seeing quite a bit of stretching of time.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah, because this is different than like Battletech. Battletech where, you know, a lot more. 100 years, you're talking about thousands of years overall from the fall of I forget what it was called. I have not read and kept up with Battletech for so long. If you told me back when I was in college, I could tell you, because I was really into Battletech. Is one of the things that I like. I like to play to us. We played a few games of it, not too much. They got boring we found out, okay, if you can find a spot on the map where your mech could stand there in water, you were in so good a shape, because you can use all your weapons and just beat the crap out of any mech that came towards you, you know. So,
well, you can do something like that in Starfleet battles too. You stand inside a nebula or a ion storm, and you're proof against Hydran fighters, for example, or drones. So there's places like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's terrain.
Yeah, I guess we had to make sure the issue for us was that the terrain maps that were included with the product and that we played with, you know, had that kind of terrain. So. Anyhow, also just, we might as well bring it up real quick. We've got time, so which is something which is very exciting. For those of you who bemoan and were saddened when Shapeways went bankrupt and basically shut down their stores, of course, if anyone's been following along, Shapeways actually is back in business again. But if you go to the website and you read through it, which I did, from the looks of it, looks like they're targeting a different audience. To me, it looks like they're targeting businesses directly. They no longer want to be a business with sales to end users, the clients. They want to be a business that they'll do 3D printing and that kind of thing, but they will take the 3D printed objects and to place your order for them, and then they will give them to the people, you know, the designers of those models directly, and mainly businesses that want, like, okay, I want 100 miniatures of this kind, going along those lines, instead of doing individual pieces and and have it so it's very more like print on demand kind of thing that ADB obviously saved ADB overall, in all honesty. But that's the way I feel about the print on demand that they, you know, when ADB finally got the publishing rights away from Task Force Games, that and they said, okay, we're gonna do it differently this time. I think that was the smartest move that Steve Cole could do, that they could actually buy these really high grade printers that could print out a tremendous amount of paper at one at a time, so they could, yeah, you know, they still had to buy the covers, buy like a 200 covers. But they can then print the paper, the most expensive part of the product. They get to print on demand. As okay, we need, you know, they keep a stock of how many? I don't know how many keep in stock. But they need more arcade to start printing out, you know, and so it's cheaper. That way, so you don't have a lot of stock laying around in the warehouse. Yeah, you have some because you have to have stock. Because if you all of a sudden you have 10 orders, you don't sit there and wait for them to print out 10 copies. In some cases, you might do that. But, you know, you still want to have some kind of stock. But anyhow. So when it comes to that, they actually looks like they found a new 3D vendor, because Albert, Gene, Mike Sparks, and Steve Cole reviewed the latest samples from this new vendor that they asked for samples from. And this and the note was that they were very nice, and that Steve Cole has directed Albert. Anyone who doesn't know Albert, Albert is Gene's husband. To get them a draft operating agreement with the vendor, which hopes to be completed executed soon, and with that, then the vendor themselves will proceed to put together a website to start selling stuff, which is great. Now, as with anything, there are glitches. The biggest glitch, of course, is that of all of the models that were created and done for Shapeways, it's not just the models. You have all this additional stuff to put it on the store and so forth. So it's going to take a long time. So Steve Cole said that he's think of doing the 7,000 size, the 7,000 series miniatures and post them up on the vendor website. That's what they're going to start with. And then, as I mentioned, it'll take a year or more to load all the various ships in the system. He has not actually gone down the path of figuring out, okay, how do we want to do this? Do we want to do this one empire at a time? Do we want to do it by series of the size that of the miniatures? Do you want to start with the small ones or the large ones and then go smaller? So they're figuring that out. But that's something that I think is very exciting news. I've said I had a news portion of this podcast, and I think it is very exciting news, so that we can again have miniatures. For those of you,
quick question, Paul.
That should make a lot of people happy.
Yep, definitely. Yes. What's the question?
So, are these going to be sold through this new vendor, or is this vendor going to be creating stock and it will be sold through ADB?
That I don't. Well, from the sounds of it, from what ADB said, you know, Steve Cole said, and that is the vendor will proceed to put together a website. So the miniatures will be sold through the vendor, just like Shapeways. Now, at the moment, we don't know what the vendor is, and for good reason. Because, you know, there's no agreement in place yet. So, you know, they don't want to announce it until all the ink is dried on the contract we're going through, and I'm assuming you won't, AWB won't announce it until the vendors actually put up together the website. Also, I'm assuming that Gene's gonna have to do some work to maybe upload the different models. I'm not sure when it comes to the 7000s, when it comes to the 7000 series, how many miniatures those are, and how much of the work being done is gonna be done by the vendor purely, and how much is gonna be done by ADB, i.e. uploading the different miniatures, making them available, and how that process actually is gonna work. Because obviously with Shapeways, what it was that you would actually, you have your store on Shapeways, and then you would upload your models to it, and then you put in descriptions, possibly you would create a picture of the model and post that and have that as part of the store entry. And then, of course, if anyone's been on Shapeways, they know this, which is they actually would post 3D images of the model so that you could take it and you could click on it and move it around, 360 degree view kind of thing, which is quite cool. But a lot of the work was done by Gene, who would upload them and then make sure everything was good. And then sometimes they'd ask for some samples to see how a particular material would work, because of if anyone remembers, Shapeways had a lot of different kind of materials you could use. To me, one of the coolest was the clear plastic, because to me, I thought that was neat for the Romulans. Because then if you had two of that miniature, one that you painted and one you had clear, you have one that's not cloaked, one that's cloaked. I thought that was kind of a cool idea. You know? So I don't know exactly what the process will be with this new vendor. If it's going to be more along the lines of, ADB says, okay, here's a drop, of the models, here's a description, here's pictures, and then gives it over to the vendor. The vendor does all the work. Or will it be more Shapeways where Gene's going to have to do some of the uploading and some of the work, or have someone else, someone other than Gene? I'm not sure who would possibly do it if it's someone other than Gene. If it's actually ADB that's going to be doing a lot of the work. So I don't know exactly the process, and I'm sure we might, because we don't know, we might actually get a little glimpse of that process later on after the website's all set up. Because the only reason we know about the previous process is because ADB talked about it. That you talked about it, that GM saw us to upload, some new miniatures, and we got some samples using this material, and it didn't really seem to work out really great. So, in some cases there were some certain miniatures on Shapeways that you only can get certain materials, because some of the other materials did not work out well because of it. And of course, there is always the issue with 3D printed products when it comes to the material, which is the cheaper material, which I think is like the larger filaments, you lose some of the detail, but it's cheaper. So if you want to print out a lot of them, you can print out them at pretty reduced cost. But if you want a better, higher quality miniature, you have to pay for the more expensive material. And also, of course, part of that, my guess, is the cost went up because also of the printing time went up because of the material involved.
Yeah.
Because if it's smaller filament, it's going to take a lot more layers to actually create that miniature.
So are these models the same ones that Mongoose had done for them in the past?
Mongoose never did models. What Mongoose did for ADB was ACTA. Call to arms. You know, a call to arms. That rules.
Right.
They did the rules. They didn't do the miniatures. Miniatures were done by Shapeways. Now, previously, when back in the old days, the miniatures were, some of the miniatures were done by Agents of Gaming and Bruce Grawl. And that was when they were actually doing, I think it was Lead, was it?
I believe so.
Way back.
The Starline miniatures?
Mm-hmm. The metal miniatures.
Yeah.
I still have some of those. Before they went to Shapeways, I still have some of those from Aaron Staley. Made a bunch of them. I have a whole Andromeda collection that he did. He did the whole fleet, which was beautiful. And he did also one of, not every, but a lot of the tournament cruisers. So I have a tournament cruiser collection, which I use. When I use it at Gamers of Winter or Summer. I know I still have to get you the schedule.
Uh-huh. But from what it says, what it sounds like from what you're saying is process from the ADB and interfacing with the miniatures company aside, it sounds a lot like it's going to be still the same kind of thing for the players to actually be able to order the individual miniatures instead of having to wait for ADB to get stocked up and then hope they can get whatever's in stock. Right. That sounds awesome.
Right. Oh, agreed.
If that works out that way, that'd make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, including ADB, because of obviously the one thing that ADB and any company a lot of times is trying to reduce is overhead, because of you always have that issue.
Overhead.
Good well, point.
They don't have to stock it, store it, ship it. Right. It just goes right through the vendor.
Right. Good point.
And they get their cut.
At this moment in time. Yeah. Starfleet Battle Force. They still have quite a few decks of Starfleet Battle Force, which were printed over, what? Definitely over 10 years ago, somewhere between 10 and 20 years ago. Now.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Now, to those of you out there that think, why do they keep them? Because the product was so, so good. To today, if they were able to print those same, take those images and print and create more cards, they wouldn't have to do anything to it. They were so that good of quality when it comes to the graphics that were on these cards, you know? And for those of you listening, yes, I will repeat that again and again and again until the day I die, because they are that beautiful, that gorgeous, you know. So anyway, I think with that, we will wrap it up for this evening. Doug, it was wonderful having you on. And actually, it looks like this time
we didn't
get dropped off a few times like last week.
Yay! I like that part. Also, Gamers of Summer is coming up Labor Day weekend. So, there you go. Harrisburg, PA, same venue. Red Lion Hotel, 17111 is the zip code. And that'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 30th August through the 1st of September. And Paul will be there.
Yes, I will.
Yay!
Okay. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Yes, that's my other person logging off for the night. So, had a nice little discussion about, of course, the future of the podcast, especially when it comes to streaming live. Obviously, for those of you who never interact with the live stream at all, things change a little bit. Especially when it comes to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, obviously things don't change at all. I will endeavor to be more consistent. I apologize for the hiccups that have happened in the past week. Don't mind me. I thought somebody logged in. I was wrong. But anyhow, with that, I'm Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.